A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
10 of the best, Scotland are elite, and Italy get their comeuppance. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 16th of November. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hard to sit still today, really, this fine Tuesday. Hard not to be dancing around the studio, Luke and Pete, because yes, England have qualified for the World Cup.
It was touch and go, wasn't it? It was touch and go for a while.
Well, those Albanians, they did beat Hungary home and away. I had my doubts.
I think you two exerted more effort debating whether you did an easy at the start of the show than England had to in 90 minutes of football, to be quite frank.
I don't know if those players waking up this morning will remember if they've been in the game or not.
Yeah, no ice baths. No point in ice baths. No point in getting...
If they're doing ice baths, it's only in case the San Marino players see them and they don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah, okay, that's
just
fair.
Just keep up appearances. Don't touch it. It's actually quite warm.
It's actually quite lukewarm.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. The little like disguised ice bath.
Did you enjoy the game, Mace?
Did I enjoy the game?
Yeah, that's just a repeat of the question.
Is the Pope a Catholic? Yeah. Oh, mate. Look, you're going to tell me that you think it's a waste of time. You and Michael Owen are going to sit there and say, give a shit about all these goals.
She's tied me in with Michael Owen. Now I've got no room to manoeuvre. Very clever.
Does Michael Owen think he can slink back to Newcastle after those comments? After he just like gave up his Newcastle career to play for England?
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that it's not a big deal to put 10 past... Away, I should add.
Away,
past the lowest ranked men's football team in the world. You're going to tell me that's not a big deal. But frankly, guys, it's the first time England have scored 9 in 39 years. It's the first time they've scored 10 in 57 years. Tell me, Pete, that's not an achievement.
It is an achievement, but I would say Harry Kane begging Gareth Southgate, your beloved Harry, to play... would speak to him chasing individual records rather than England glory.
Killer mentality. You've got to love that.
Killer mentality.
love that.
Shooting fish in a barrel mentality.
And we can only do a certain amount of a length of time of show today because we've got to cross live over to Michael Owen handing his goals back against Luxembourg and Liechtenstein that he scored during his career.
Quite right.
And I think he might be pushed after negotiation to hand his Azerbaijani goal back as well.
Yes, we'll see.
Definitely. We'll wait and see.
Was that home or away? Because there is a travel involved.
The Liechtenstein one was at Old Trafford.
Right,
so technically away for him until he became a Man United player. I mean, I don't know if that's just people in the media being mischievous about Harry saying, oh, he begged to start. I don't think Harry Kane's ever begged Gareth Southgate for anything. I don't think it quite works like that.
No.
Because begged makes it sound like he's on his knees going, if you don't give me a start, Charlie's coming in.
He's done a lot of begging recently, hasn't he? He's probably quite practised at it, to be fair.
Maybe it was Charlie doing the begging. But look, I think that the problem is playing a team like San Marino is so easy and it's that they're such lowly opposition that it's not even a really a confidence boost for them. Mm. I mean, they're going to be playing, it's going to be harder in training for them. That you watch it, and if you've watched football for a while or you know anything about football at all, and possibly even if you don't, it's not really a spectacle. It's a bit like, who's benefiting from this? So, of course, it's a headline.
Not the keeper. The keeper had a torrid night.
If anything, he's at least kept busy.
He'll need a nice bath.
He's got some Sisyphean purpose at
least. Yeah, okay.
But other than that, I mean, Ramsdale had to make one save, which was quite exciting. But that was the only thing.
Yeah, well, Harry Kane, you know, overtook Jimmy Greaves as he did. He's had a glut, hasn't he?
Jimmy Greaves' death. That is disrespectful.
That is disrespectful.
Yeah. Or you could say it's the ultimate sign of respect, isn't it?
No, well, still disrespectful.
Four past San Marino.
I think we probably need to take in the main talking points, which is the disallowing of that Jude Bellingham goal.
It was a lovely hit, to be fair.
Oh, it's a lovely hit.
It was straight
hit,
in the middle of the goal, but still.
At one point, one of the San Marino defenders actually threw his hand up in the air to try and stop the ball. Yes. And it's like,
it's not dodgeball.
No, it's very disappointing to see that. You're not even helping yourself there.
They were down to 10 men also by the end of the game. Okay, look, so point taken. We've enjoyed it.
3 points taken, actually. Yeah. Fucking scored 10. Get 3 points for that.
Damn right. And
only
also,
3 goals conceded.
Honourable mention for the graphic, probably.
The graphic, they're not designed to have the capacity for double figures, do they?
It's like when it goes up to 100 minutes on the clock.
Yes. Oh.
Some graphic person out there shitting themselves, thinking, is this going to work? Like the Millennium Bug, isn't it?
It is like the Millennium Bug, but
Stack
do you not
overflow.
Think they're probably just quite charmed by it, because not often do graphics really call attention to themselves. So if you're the graphics guy, you're probably sitting there thinking, yeah.
No, but is it not like being a referee? No one notices you if you've done a good job.
Oh, you're probably right. Yeah. Mm.
But England have qualified. I mean, we should probably say that. That's a big deal, right?
I've been saying it for the last...
Listening.
I wanted to just do 45 minutes on that. Just us repeating that and singing a little song.
A little song? The way you said that was like you've written one yourself.
Funny you should mention that, actually. Give me 2 minutes. I just want to go and get my violin. Yes, good point. All right, fine. Fair enough to say that this is not the most torrid test that England's men will face in their lives.
No.
So perhaps it's more a case of looking back at their qualifying campaign and talking a bit more about what sort of shape they're in. Clearly, it's a good thing to be unbeaten. I can't help always considering that 2013 qualifying campaign where we didn't lose a game and then got knocked out after 2 games in the World Cup. So I'm not sure it's necessarily the one that paves the way so beautifully. And perhaps that feeds Pete into the question of how useful this all is. How useful do you think this has been in understanding where we are now?
I think it's just nice to see an England side that are kind of hitting their stride, so to speak. The stride of the side. Spain are on their way up.
That's
Portugal,
the second verse of the song, by the way.
Yeah, Portugal are probably going the other way. Italy are creaking a bit. They're hanging their goal threat on people like Immobile and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out. And I say that pretty much every week. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future because none of us can predict it. But it's like what you said on Friday, Luke, I think it was either Thursday or Friday. The FA's plan A, B and C is to keep Gareth Southgate.
Yeah.
It sounds like he may be signing another 2-year contract extension. But it's good that at least Gareth Southgate has a plan for the future, a plan for a succession, effectively.
We can't have Gareth Southgate being the England manager and it's like some kind of Coca-Cola recipe where all the knowledge dies with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he needs to be protected at all costs if that's the case. we had a little slight disagreement on Friday about the idea whether, I think it was Vishnite, about whether we should be seeing someone else alongside Gareth Southgate in the setup with a view to succeeding him. Now, I understand why that could potentially fence you in with a selection or with a candidate to succeed him. But you kind of really want to be thinking about that because regardless of this game last night, England have got some amazing players.
Yeah.
But they've had amazing players before. You talked about the 2014 qualification. Yes. England had San Marino in that group then as well, and Poland. Yeah. And I think they beat San Marino 8-0 away that time.
Good memory, yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And then they were terrible in the tournament. The reason they weren't great in the tournament, lots of different reasons. Perhaps they were in a very tough group and they had a manager maybe who wasn't quite as dynamic as Gareth Southgate is now.
In the qualifying, they drew with Montenegro and Ukraine as well. So,
but they remained unbeaten, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And I suppose what I'm trying to say is that England have had good players in the past. And what's happened is they've chucked all their lot in with one generation, called them the golden generation before they've even won anything. And I know that was a media construct, but it still happened. And then we had to be in the doldrums for quite a long time after that. And before that, when it happened post-1990. So So look, there's got to be some kind of elimination of this boom and bust cycle. Mm. And I think Southgate is doing a good job of doing that by bringing these players in and giving them some experience. But it wasn't a great advert for international football last night. That's not the England team's fault. And it's good to see these other players coming through.
Not a great advert for the men's game, actually. And we'll plug that women's football show, will we, later?
Later,
on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I suppose, Luke, you'd say maybe, in addition to the thing about travelling with the England setup and all that, that there is some benefit to be had if you're Emile Smith Rowe for scoring your first international goal.
For him, I think, yeah.
Because, I don't know, I mean, this is obviously a psychological exercise, but presumably the pressure or the idea of getting your first goal could weigh heavy on you if you win a more difficult game.
Possibly not from Emile Smith Rowe's position, though, on the field. I mean, he's
bad example, but you know what I mean.
Like, I don't know if it's a terrible example, because Jordan Henderson waited ages for his first goal for England.
Yeah. Now he's got two.
It became a thing, and now he's got two. And the second one was very close, nearly taken away from him as well, which I felt bad for him. But look, yeah, in Smith Rowe's case, it's great to get off the mark with a cap or a start or whatever it was. It's great to get off the mark with a goal. But aside from that, I really would love someone to tell me who is benefiting from this. Mm. Who is benefiting, other than Harry Kane's goal record, and that's not to criticise him individually, because all the great goal scorers in international level have had their record padded to some extent. Ali Dai certainly did. Cristiano Ronaldo certainly has. Yeah. So I'm not going to criticise him personally for that. But other than that, what's the benefit of this? I know we've had some improvements in the international setup as far as the minnows are concerned with things like the Nations League, and I think that's a really positive move. I just don't really know if this kind of stuff's worth it. San Marino aren't learning anything from it, and England certainly aren't either. So to me, it just feels like a free hit. You get 6 points at the start of the group if you're lucky enough to be drawn in that group. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, hopefully good point. Hopefully we'll talk a bit more about this kind of depth question as well, which we've covered there, and important, clearly. We're going to talk in the second half about the World Cup. Generally important, clearly, to have depth, given that, as either of you mentioned, I can't remember, it's going to be mid-season, the Qatar 2022. So, speaking of legendary strikers, before we move on to the Scotland game, which was immense,
amazing,
by the way, Andy Carroll is back.
Andy Carroll.
He's joined Reading on an initial 2-month deal. Come on! Yeah. You must be pleased to see him getting the plaudits.
I just want to see how many extra hoops they're going to have to put on the shirt. I'm going to count them. Because he's a very long man,
point,
isn't he?
Yeah. Will they widen the hoops or increase the frequency of them?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Are they requisite numbers of hoops on a shirt? I think it's just going to be long.
The timeline we're on with football means that surely Andy Carroll's going to have an extraordinarily successful loan spell, score loads of goals, and the first Newcastle United new regime signing is going to be Andy Carroll again.
Yes.
The forthcoming, or whatever it is, of
Perhaps
Carroll.
Perhaps he heralded it with his photo that he posted announcing that he was joining Reading, with the caption, "Let the fun and games begin."
It's not what you hear, Andy.
Fun games.
Yeah, it's not
Let
what
the
you hear.
Fun games. They've got a purple turtle, a walkabout, and a pop world in Reading. Yeah. I'm ready to get started, guys.
Scotland beat Denmark 2-0. John Souter and Shay Adams with the goals in that one. Adams, a beautiful goal. Souter, great to see him score after he's had, nearly three what looked like career-ending injuries.
Yeah. He's got half a good Achilles in there.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's so great to see him play full stop and then to get that goal. It's pretty emotional as well. So that means that Scotland seal a seeded spot in the playoffs for the World Cup in front of that glorious
amazing
full
crowd.
House at Hampden.
I mean, this was an actually extraordinary night.
Screaming down people's faces.
It reminded me of when I was in sixth form, the most unassuming wallflower young lass from my class got up and went for Guys and Dolls.
Right.
Got one of the lead parts and sung one of the songs from Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
I think it was Bushel and a Peck.
Right,
and she had the most beautiful singing voice, but no one else had heard her sing
before.
No one
knew.
And I was like, and I was watching that performance last night, and I was like, where's that come from? It's Garth playing the drums in Wainswell too.
It is.
Although, to pay homage,
they've had a good campaign.
They have
to
our Scottish cousins, though, six straight wins, is it not?
Yeah, but like, it's Denmark.
They haven't conceded the goal until now.
With Schmeichel in net, like, it's incredible.
Making
like,
some incredible saves as well.
And then, and Scotland's goalkeeper had one save to make, and that was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. So good. Coming up to the hour mark, that was so. Oh well, that was an offside one, wasn't it? That was such a good save. Ali McCoy said, "I liked him on comms." Like him on comms, but I like the way on comms at that particular moment I'm thinking of, he said, good save, good save. Like he was sort of psyching himself up to make that
That was fine.
Ali McCoys was, I mean, on a night where every single person playing for Scotland absolutely excelled themselves and put in a performance for the ages, an amazing atmosphere and an amazing performance, Ali McCoys was somehow still the standout performer. Has he ever had a better night at work than last night? And when they scored the second one, he just went off mic and you could hear in the background going, yeah! it was incredible. They played some amazing stuff.
And people talk about Denmark having a lot of injuries and a lot of players out. Like, Scotland had Hanley, Henry, McTominay unavailable for selection. Like, yeah, they were pretty decimated as well.
I think you're right. I think Scotland were absolutely superb. I think they're building something really special there. Mm. I think it was an absolutely textbook performance because Denmark came out a bit when they were a goal down because they've already qualified. They're proud of their record and rightly so, and they were great in the summer. So they're a good, you know, a team who's used to winning. And then the way Scotland picked them off and that Shea Adams finish. I said last week, Adams can be a really crucial player for Scotland. He's not an elite striker, but he's big enough and strong enough and he can finish and he can occupy defences. He can give them something to think about. And the way he finished that goal last night, it was just the icing on the cake. It was fantastic to watch. And it does mean something for Scotland now. Like you say, they're now seeded in the playoff. And I'll tell you what, there is no team that can qualify for that second place playoff situation that wants to go to Hampden Park after that. No chance. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens.
Yeah. So seven, what it means in terms of the qualifiers now, it's at this point, as we speak to you today on Tuesday, seven groups are now complete. Three groups are decided tonight. In terms of Europe generally, 13 nations qualify in total. That's the most of any federation. And at the start, it was 55 teams. In the group stages, and the three nations come through these semi-finals in March. I'm just saying this to make the point that they're on a roll, they're building something special, as Luke says, but it is still a pretty tough ask, especially as we're just going to get on to Northern Ireland nil, Italy nil. Come on, you're just a shit San Marino. when we talk about that, there's some pretty tasty little bunch of teams in the playoffs going into this one, right?
Like the guy suggested, though, Portugal as well.
Forget them.
Yeah,
they're just here to ramp up Cristiano Ronaldo's goal scoring record.
One of the difficult things is that they've now made qualification for the tournament so complicated that it's really tough. You need some kind of statistical analysis degree to actually work it out.
Yeah. I actually agree with that. Yeah, because there's also the two Nations League spots in the playoffs, and they're definitely not seeded, but they could also be Wales, even though Wales play and could finish second.
The official website detailing how things are qualified and the current positions people are in uses so many different colours for colour codes. It's actually quite painful on the eyes.
Yeah.
And there's little brackets with letters and all sorts. Yeah, it's mad. It's absolutely mad.
Could you write it all down on John McGinn's bum?
Could you? Is that the biggest bum you could think of right then?
Well, he's notable. He's notable, got a big bum, hasn't he? Because he protects the ball so much.
Oh, I see what you mean. Nice. You could do that with not a large bum. It could be more about how you
manipulate. How you use it. How you write it.
The greatest bum in football history is Kenny Dalglish. I've never seen. Go back and watch. If you're too young to watch Kenny Dalglish play, which I sort of am, go back and watch watch YouTube videos of Kenny Dalglish. The way he protected the ball with his arse was extraordinary good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Northern Ireland, come on, let's give them some credit. Before we get into all this
they've got a lower billing than Kenny Dalglish's arse. I'm sorry about that.
No, I you've done that. I don't support that.
They played 10 buttocks at the back and tried to hit Italy on the break.
20 buttocks.
20 buttocks.
Hang on.
It's not one buttock per arse, is it?
No, it's two buttocks. They were playing five at the back, didn't they?
Oh, sorry, okay.
They were officially three, but they played five at the back.
I thought you meant every single player was behind the ball.
Yeah, which is a bit disrespectful also.
Because there'd be 11, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true. In addition to the bum thing.
Yeah. There was 44 buttocks on the pitch. Some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think... No, we can't judge them independently, can we?
I don't think so.
It's like a pair of shoes. Yeah.
It comes in a package. You can't just buy one shoe.
I'm in a cul-de-sac. I don't know how to get out. Pete, save me.
In a buttock cage.
She's looked to Pete.
Yeah.
That's how desperate she is.
That is law. That is law, Kate, I'm afraid.
It's an incredible performance by Northern Ireland as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Italy...
They have a lot of injuries, but they should be able to get through with that.
Yeah, Mancini said, "Oh, we struggle for goals and everything." And if you look at their record, I suppose they kind of have done. I mean, but Switzerland have only scored two more goals than them in qualifying, and then Italy, I guess, will look to that one or draw at home to Switzerland in the group that possibly hurt them, and then I think they drew with them away as well. So they didn't actually manage to beat Switzerland at all, which would have hurt them. If you only win four of your eight games. And you've got Lithuania in your group and Northern Ireland with respect to them in your group, they'll be disappointed, of course, especially given what happened in the summer. Mm. But Northern Ireland were good. They stuck to their task. They had a few chances of their own. It's really difficult to analyse as a game, right? Because Italy knew that really they needed to do something. So they started chucking everything forward, didn't they? And then Northern Ireland were able to kind of have a little bit of joy here and there in the gaps that were left behind. I thought, again, every time I see him, Federico Chiesa was fantastic, probably man of the match, the most positive forward you will ever see. Like, every single time he gets the ball, he just goes on a beeline towards the goal. And there's a lot to be said for that. Not overcomplicating things when you're playing in that position.
Also, one of the players who looks the most like someone you probably went to school with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he does a bit. I see what you mean. Yeah, he's got a very generic face. Mm. Yeah. And that's me saying that. And that's sat next to Pete, who looks like everyone.
We tweeted that we're over it. I'm not over it, obviously.
No.
About the Euros.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not saying it's nice to see the scathing headlines in the Italian press about it being ugly. And it being a nightmare, and Jorginho missing a penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, I enjoyed the Northern Ireland performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's tough to say at this point, as you've already said, Kate, as we record today, you'd think that Italy would be a good chance of going through in the playoffs, but you always get these big, high-profile victims in the qualification process for major tournaments. It happens less often now in the Euros because it's a bigger tournament, but there are teams that miss out, and obviously we've seen England miss out in the past. So, you know, they've still got work to do. They've still got a job to do, and they're going to have to score goals in this playoff as well.
Italy and Portugal now in the playoffs then as seeded teams. They have to overcome a single-legged semi and a final, also seeded.
Yeah.
Scotland, of course. Yeah. All right, time to revel in that. We'll get to the break.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories in women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL...
Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3 and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer.
For me, I would pick Leah Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
All the way across, Townsend. Oh, one more. My oh my. My sweet grandma's apple pie.
Yeah. American commentary, everybody. Yeah.
He says my sweet grandma's apple pie, but I wonder if he's
supposed to pie sour.
My grandma's sweet apple pie. Yeah,
isn't it? Sounds a bit sexual.
Yeah,
my grandma's like sweet apple pie.
I think it sounds more sexual the other way around.
Yeah. Sweet grandma's fine. My grandma's sweet
grandma. It's me and the two sweet grandmas here with you today on this fine Tuesday. Now it's time for some emails. Always expect the next one, don't you?
Yeah.
The next key change.
It's got that quality that feels like it could go on forever.
It could.
Like one of those like memes that could go on forever. Like when Pete uploaded 8 hours of Tony Mowbray playing the saxophone to Baker Street to YouTube.
Oh yeah.
It took like 3 days
Didn't
to upload.
Get a copyright strike. Very bizarre.
I thought it was more like what was it you were saying the other day, 1,000 times? Show it for world.com probably.
Oh yeah, probably layered on.
The ending to the jingle. We've had some great ones, by the way. Mm. The email standard has gone through the roof recently and we thank our listeners very much for it. I am going to open with one from Matty Moreland. Hello to you, Matty, who's in Newcastle, Pete, up around your neck of the woods.
Every part of the world.
Who says, on the subject of footballers being lonely in new and unknown areas after signing for different clubs. When Ryan Taylor wasn't training or playing, he would spend all his time in the nicest room in the hotel a couple of my friends worked at the time and apparently spent all his time holed up in his room playing WWE on the Xbox. He would regularly order room service and whoever delivered it would be asked to stay and give him a game of tag team or Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's lovely.
What a gig.
There was a WCW wrestler called The Wall, so maybe that's The Wall that Ryan Taylor, remember Ryan Taylor over The Wall?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's the link. But Pete, if you were some kind of a room service operative at a hotel, would you fancy playing a bit of tag teams with Ryan Taylor?
I always find wrestling as a bit boring, a bit mechanical. I don't really sort of chime with them, really.
The greatest ever wrestling game, in my opinion, was the one you better get at the arcade, where it had four stations.
Yeah.
And it was a Royal Rumble.
That's beautiful.
And I'd always Classic. Be big boss man. Anyway, you carry on.
I fear for the operative.
Yeah, I do too.
Because if you just disappear, you know, you go to take some food and you stay for 20 minutes.
It's rock and a hard place stuff because he's going to get in trouble with his boss, but at the same time, he's supposed to keep keep the hotel people, the customers happy.
You got to lose either way, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Taylor might be having a lovely time at Corn in Lancashire.
Right, okay.
I think, did he get through the FA Cup? I seem to recall. Doesn't matter. Anyway, hello to Jacob Kett. Hello, Jacob. Kett is people from the northeast used to call candy, which is confusing.
It means something completely different in London.
Growing up, I lived in a housing estate right next to the Blackburn Rovers Senior Training Centre. I could see the training pitches from my window and used to watch every Mark Hughes training session I could.
Just him doing volleys.
Just him doing absolute vol parties.
Yeah.
As a diehard Rovers fan, this is an absolute dream. When Whenever I could, I would wait by the gates of the training ground and get players to sign anything I had. Tops, footballs, etc.
Microwaves.
One day I was by the training ground and cars were leaving. I walked over and a car stopped and pulled over. It was the bang average midfielder, Keith Andrews. With nothing for him to sign, I took off my Velcro white Kappa shoes and gave them to him. The look of disgust as Keith signed it still haunts me to this day.
He still signed it, though.
Still signed
it. And I'll say this back,
Keith. Still had the Sharpie.
I'll say this for Keith Andrews. As a football player himself, he was physically quite forgettable.
Yeah, I can't remember him at all.
When he goes in the punditry, grows his hair out a bit, he looks $1 million.
Right.
Such a handsome pundit.
Hope for us all, eh?
I think so. I think he's matured like a fine wine. And so Jacob might want to call him a bang average midfield player. I'd like to call him a particularly handsome pundit.
Beautiful.
There we go.
He's got young Lennon
chalk
hair.
Chalk is another man's cheese.
What goes around comes around. One man's chalk is another man's cheese, Kate. Very good. That's not a saying.
Then show@footballramble.com. If you've got views on why the emails have improved in quality so much recently.
Better quality a listener, I think.
Email in.
Yeah, I think when you joined, Kate, you expanded out our pool. Some much needed fresh new blood.
Oh, yes.
And now the cream is rising to the top.
You're my favourite ones, listeners.
It's not only you that mixes metaphors. I can do it as well, you know.
Yeah, sorry, I'd like to just clarify. I meant young Stalin, not young Lenin.
Oh,
yeah, sorry. Lenin famously has very thin hair.
He does, yeah. Young Stalin, very handsome. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to talk a little bit about the World Cup as an idea, as a concept, as an entity, as a country, I guess, for the next few minutes. Because as Conor Cody mentioned, and as Gareth Southgate, I think, has referred to as well, the idea is that now that England have qualified, they're going to have a conversation about what kind of, I'm not sure if they use the word protest, but what kind of
statement,
what they will do, what is their take on the situation of Qatar hosting the World Cup, the World Cup that they now will certainly
play in,
be going to. And we just wanted to, at this point, speak a bit about that because, of course, in the run-up to the end of the qualifiers aren't quite over yet, but in all of this time, it's been like, there's going to be a World Cup in Qatar. Okay, what's the next thing? We'll finish the next thing. And then, you know, this World Cup, this strange World Cup is far away. And lots of things we talked about in the past, this idea of the season being bisected. For me, I'm not too fussed about that. I think this is a kind of Western-focused concept that, you know, other leagues should stop in the middle and no worries about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that bothered about it. Mm-hmm. In terms of the temperature, it's actually quite a reasonable temperature at that time of year, so that's actually not a problem. They're proud of their special air conditioning. I guess they've got lots of nice tech. I don't really care. The problem that we have and that has come out again in an Amnesty report, I think this morning or last night, is about the conditions of the workers who are currently beavering away to build these incredible stadiums, which are going to look unbelievably beautiful in some cases. They've got ones that there's one that looks like a Bedouin tent. There's all sorts of incredible glamour that you'll see in Doha, presumably in just under a year's time. And it's tough to square those two things, the conversation about the situation of these workers and what this is going to look like on a global stage. And we were also thinking about, let's say England do well, because obviously the first half of this show has been all about how great it is that you know, we're going to a World Cup. Mm. We might be one of amongst the favourites, Luke.
We will be one.
But
we will be among the
favourites. What impact does that have, seeing us potentially, imagine, win? I mean, that's the greatest thing any England football fan could experience, winning the World Cup in Qatar. What does that do?
Well, yeah, and I think we chatted about this briefly earlier, and Pete was made a really good point about the fact that it will the attention on this will ramp up and ramp up, and the heat will get hotter and hotter between now and this time next year, because teams will know they're going to be qualifying. They'll know that they've got to have some kind of position on it, and I'm not just talking about the players, which I'll come on to in a second, but also the associations. I mean, Amnesty are part of their report. I think they are, or maybe if it's not part of the report that you referenced, they are, I know, urging the FA to kind of ask questions about this, to press on this, to work out what the hell's happening. And I don't think, to mention the players again, Conor Cody coming out saying what he said, clearly a socially conscious man and clearly a quite intelligent guy and has opinions on this, as I'm sure many of the players do. For me, of course, the most important thing is the human rights violations and the human beings that have been asked and forced to suffer at the hands of this being organised. But ultimately, if you, we're a football podcast, right? So if you focus on the football players, it shouldn't really be incumbent upon them to have to do this. They should be able to perform their trade and play their game, knowing that the people in charge of the sport they play are doing the right thing, are handling this properly, you know, and that's not the case. So it's a really difficult position, not as difficult as the migrant workers who are suffering, obviously, and to make that clear. But for us here, we love football, we love the World Cup, we love that England have qualified for the World Cup.
And it's been taken from us.
Yeah, we love that England will be among the favourites, they will be, and they may even win it. But it's very difficult to square that with being a right-thinking human being and thinking this is unacceptable. And we've all been let down by the authorities, I think. Well, we certainly have, haven't we?
I think certain events that have happened in the past 3 or 4 weeks has meant that I've changed massively on
Really? Is that right?
On the Qatar World Cup. Because I think football could be an agent for change.
That's what people always say. They always say that.
Could be an agent for change. Look, let's change from within, shall we? Yeah.
You're making a joke, understand.
I am making a joke.
But there is some merit in that. There is some merit in if people are going there and talking about these things, and if people, you know, this is a focus.
It's never worked before, though, isn't it? That line got drawn a long time ago.
Surely you can say. Sorry if I've misunderstood your point, but surely you can say, okay, Qatar, you want to hold the World Cup.
Get to that point, and then
show us how you're doing it.
No,
if you want to. We don't have to give you the prestige of a World Cup. And by the way, there are plenty of countries around the world that are far more storied in football terms and work far harder to get a World Cup and never got one, like Australia, for example. They don't get that as a precursor to, if we give it to you, then you'll do what you say you're going to do. It's bullshit.
They should
fulfil the criteria first. And if they do that, then you can say that football has been an agent for change.
Yeah.
But in this case, it certainly
has not.
That's
a good point. I suppose I was looking at it from a kind of post-fact situation. I guess I was taking it from the point that, you know, it's already been awarded and what happens now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, I remember I was on, Talk of the Terrace on ESPN. Mm. Like, that was like 2012 or something. Me and you were both on it and we were talking about the blooming, the awarding of the World Cup and how shocking it all kind of went about. And as you said off air, like, it should never have been given to Qatar because the actual process was just illegal and wrong. But it's not up to the players to come out and they have no choice in the matter. They want to play for their country. And how many footballers will be taking their Cessnas across the Persian Gulf to Doha from Dubai in November? No doubt. I mean, every footballer worth their salt play at parties in that part of the world. And let's make it very clear, the FA are going to make no statements. They're going to say, or they might make some,
a statement, but that'll go further than that. Yeah.
No, exactly. Yeah. So it's all a big, it's all just what, shit, really, isn't it?
What would be interesting is if there was a selection, only a selection, a handful of high-profile players who, and I'm not suggesting that they should do this, and it's not for me to make it incumbent upon them to do it, but if they were to do it.
A bit of a collective rather than just one or two.
And I wonder if it's a prime mover kind of argument here, and the whole thing might snowball a bit. But realistically speaking, that's not happened so far, and I don't know if it will happen between now and then, because ultimately, you know, you're asking a player really to set fire to the pinnacle of their career, you know, and I think that's a big thing to ask. Mm. You're absolutely right to raise the idea that the whole thing was corrupt in the first place. It's, you know, since proven to be to have been problematic, both the 2018 and the 2022 World Cup bids. And there was an investigation in 2015. Everyone knows the story. It's very difficult to know where it's going to go and where we're going to go with this. I think that most people in football, most normal people in football, are completely in for this position. And I don't see how you get out of it without some really big changes made from the very top or some kind of bottom-up player and supporter-focused rebellion, which I don't personally see happening.
Yeah, players from Germany, Netherlands and Norway have held on-pitch protests against Qatar. Quite. What do you say, I guess briefly, guys, what is your take on the kind of whataboutery of it, you know, because I hear us having this conversation, we're not laying down absolute detail about every single element that is why Qatar is such a controversial place to hold a World Cup, but hopefully you guys listening will read more about it if you haven't at this point. There's a very good investigation in the Mail, and there's a piece that we read also in the Guardian this morning, and of course this Amnesty report. What would you say to those guys, Pete, who think, well, you know, there's lots of problems in the world. Why is this? Why are you whittering on about this?
I don't think
now?
There's a single developed nation that doesn't have an issue with modern slavery. I mean, so whataboutery is probably quite valid in this case. But these guys are the most obvious proponents of it, you know, taking passports, leaving people in massive amounts of debt when they do finally, when they are allowed to leave the country, and fundamentally people dying in stadiums through overwork and heat exhaustion and fucking kidney failure and stuff like that. This is the premier football competition, and FIFA have enough money, and FIFA had enough money, and FIFA could tomorrow solve a lot of these problems. They've got their surplus, they've got enough cash. Like, why are their profits more important than literal people dying for football?
And on the whataboutery thing, if I may just fucking pick up on that, sure, it's important to turn the lens on yourselves when you are, you know, because no one's perfect, right? So we talk about the racism thing in football, and we say, well, we've got problems here, because we have. And, you know, someone went to prison not long ago, a month ago, for some racist crime against a football player. So clearly there are problems here. But if we only ever do that, nothing ever changes. So it's important to acknowledge your own shortcomings. But it's, you know, we do have labour laws in the UK. We do have like standards that are set that are, by some measure, far higher and far safer than they have in Qatar. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean the UK is perfect. You know, I'm not subscribing to the Richard Keys doctrine that, you know, every single person who criticises Qatar, because he's in the pocket of Qatar, he has to criticise them. That doesn't get you anywhere anyway, even if some of his things may even be valid. I mean, I'm not sure if they are, but maybe they are. You have to call it out when you see it, and we shouldn't be frightened to call it out about ourselves. But clearly, as Pete said, they're the ones in the focus on them at the moment, and rightly so, because they're hosting the World Cup. And secondly, because they're far worse than everyone else. I don't know how many more of these reports we have to see before people who are actually paid to take responsibility and lead from the front, and yeah, we see a failure of that across the country in a lot of different ways at the moment, to do something. And so far it hasn't happened. I'm pessimistic about it happening because, you know, you can't do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, because that's insanity. So let's see. Sadly, I think it's going to be another regretful chapter in football's story, I'm afraid.
Reports also suggest this week that these workers who are kind of indentured, there's this whole discussion of the kafala system, and you have to have you have to have permission from your employer to leave the employment that you have, or to leave the country. And I know when I was there, so that's what, 2.5 years ago, the announcement was that it had been rolled back, it had been ended. I still had to ask permission of my employer to leave the country. Now that was absolutely fine because you know I had a Western manager. I had plenty of support, right? They're not going to prevent me doing. But if you take that and work all the way down, you can see the kind of level of difficulty potentially people are under. And the idea is that Qatar apparently told workers that they will leave next August ahead of the tournament. So it's another kind of function of like cleaning things up potentially, so that when the customers come in, you don't have to.
When Pele's at the airport. Saying the airport's lovely.
Key says
and it is lovely. You know, they do a fantastic job.
These dickheads, they all say it. Beckenbauer said it. One of the greatest players to ever play the game, most important figures in the history of this sport, says, I went to Qatar, I didn't see anything. Well, of course you fucking didn't. Mm. Richard Keys, come and spend 3 months here, you won't see anything. Yeah, you won't see anything. Because
there's not a lot of bad stuff at the Hyatt, actually.
No,
I've got to say, Richard. The most shocking thing I've ever seen at the Hyatt pool is your topless self.
Think of the filters.
we're right to get. I know maybe some people kind of listen, they roll their eyes and go, it's a football show, we need to listen and hear about football. This is really important stuff. It speaks to a lot of aspects of society, like football always does, and we have to keep talking about it when these reports keep coming out. We have a responsibility to amplify what people like Amnesty are doing, and I think we're within our rights to do so.
And the guns will be trending us when we're talking about, you know, the what about it. It'd be like, well, yeah, we're going to be covering the World Cup in the next season. It's the fucking World Cup. Like, we didn't ask for any of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, quite right. Okay. Tonight, more football. Wales go up against Belgium. Another, you know, and also, before we talked about this in the context of Scotland, all of these teams who are competing, this could be the time of their life. This is the biggest achievement of their careers, potentially. So, yes, Wales go up against Belgium. If they get a draw, they could potentially secure home advantage in the playoff. Same as Scotland. Exciting stuff. Probably the most exciting group tonight, the most exciting finish is Group G. The Netherlands, Norway, and Andy Brassel's Turkey all still able to qualify.
It's a triple threat. It's a triple threat. It's amazing. So Netherlands play Norway at home, right? If Turkey, who are playing, I think, away in Montenegro, if they get the result they need between the Netherlands and Turkey, They could top the group. It's all to play for. It's a triple threat. One goes through automatically, one goes into the playoffs, and one goes home, baby.
Yes.
It's going to be great. I'm excited for it.
Who are you backing, Luke?
I'm backing Louis van Gaal on his wheelchair.
Oh, bloody hell. Are you best wishes to Louis van Gaal. Yeah. He looks terrible, guys.
His life is dedicated.
I know you want to laugh. I'm concerned about how he looks like a Bond villain.
He's the Larry David of football. And I think we should accept that. He's the Larry David of football.
He's got
fell
one
off
of those,
his bike.
He fell off his bike. And he's now in a golf cart, a golf buggy.
We've all fallen off a bike.
We've all fallen off a bike. We're not handed out a golf buggy to do our work. Apparently
it's happened before. Apparently he hurt himself before and he's done training before in a golf cart, which to me is maniacal.
Oh, I bet he's got like, you know those truck nuts you get?
Yeah.
In the back of the cars. I bet he's got that at the back of the golf buggy.
I bet he has. Yeah. I also think that it's got a big Bond villain element to it.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, he's some kind of Blofeld type character, just barking things out, threats from a golf cart at 70.
Keen cyclist, though, to support Louis van Gaal in a strange turn of events, they're always getting injured. If you're a cyclist and you go around cycling all over the shop,
Usually, collarbone, isn't it?
Friends of mine, yeah.
It's Bonn in Amsterdam, guys, come on.
Exactly, it's a home of cycling.
Bonn on a bike.
Exactly right. Don't forget, more football to tell you about and more football podcasting. Yes, you can listen to our brand new women's football show Up Front every Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, unless you're listening to it tomorrow. Today, Flo, Rachel and Chloe look back over the women's football weekend and a couple of cracking matches, including our sort of heartbreak in the North London Derby, but I'm actually quite pleased about the point, as well as asking what can be done to raise a profile of the types of weekends like that going forward. Listen now on Football Ramble Presents. You can also catch the little Carragher interview if you haven't already.
Yeah, you should definitely do that. It's fantastic. There's loads of great stuff to listen to on Football Ramble Presents.
Damn right.
Kate, you managed to do the whole Jamie Carragher interview about turning Scouse as well. Yeah. Very proud of you for that.
I was worried. Yeah. I hadn't listened. Some bits I was concerned about, so I didn't actually listen to those. There was rumours that Jim had said him.
Oh, really?
Him.
Jim's a very pleasant man. I can imagine Jim wanting to make someone feel...
Oh, right, so you've bought into that as the concept of my idiocy.
Well, you introduced it to me. You got the bloody nose, and now I accept it.
Thank you so much, Luke. Well, lovely to sit with you and chat to you as always, and lovely to chat to you, listeners. On tomorrow's show, Marcus, Luke, and Lars Sivertsen is back.
What about Pete? Nice to sit with Pete as well, is it?
I'm going to say bye to Pete as well. Oh, I was going to give him his own special thing.
Hold your fire,
everyone.
Hold
Sorry.
Your fire.
Okay.
Hold your fire, Pete.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
I don't know.
I want your Amiga magazine back.
Oh, can you give me my Amiga magazine back, please? Amiga addict.
Luke confiscated a magazine earlier.
He wasn't focused.
He wasn't. But you can't be reading in class.
The he's DMA got... design, the history
Enough.
Of Lemmings.
We're going.
Other DMA classics.
We're going.
I said you could say bye. Go on, say bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Luke.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Hard for us to sit still and not dance around the studio, isn't it, Luke and Pete? Because England have qualified. Oh, bloody hell.
Yes.
It's good because you went, I'm Kate Macnick.
Chris was off laughing for some reason because I'm so full of joy.
That's supposed to be at 10 a.m, not 10:10.
You pricks.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined
a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.